Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company on this Monday evening. It's the last Monday of Live on Air because we're going to Wednesday, as in from the 6th of January. I'll tell you more about that. I'll remind you again throughout the programme. It's also the last Live on Air for 2020. So let's make it a good one, shall we? We're going to start well anyway because the ambassador, the Irish ambassador to Spain, is Sheila Maguire. You've heard her on the programme before. And just before Christmas time, I caught up with her and we had a good old chat on the phone about various things, and you'll hear that interview this evening on the programme. In fact, we'll be starting with it very shortly. Patricia Traynor is back to us. She's got a great story, and if you like a drop of brandy on your plum pudding, you might have had some already and you might be getting some more. Well, she's got an interesting story about brandy. And a man wrote to me a number of weeks ago saying that he's English but feels this great draw towards Ireland and towards the Irish. He has Irish blood. His grandfather is both of them were Irish, and I thought let's have a chat with him and see exactly what's going on, what's according, as they say. And we'd play good Irish music between now and 7 o'clock as well, including the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1963. As always, don't forget, if you would like to get in contact with the programme at any stage, you can do so. The email address is the best one at the moment, ger@tre.radio. All right, and again, can I remind you so that you can tell your friends right now, email them or text them all and tell them that Live on Air is moving to Wednesday from the 6th of January. Same time, between 6 and 7, just a different day, that's all. All right. Now, it's always a joy to talk to the Irish ambassador to Spain, Ambassador Sheila Maguire. And as I said in the introduction, just before Christmas, I caught up with her and we had a very good chat. Ambassador, great to talk to you again. And it's been a while. I think it's 12 months since you and I spoke. There would normally have been an occasion or two or three in the year, but this COVID put a stop to all of that. You've got through it okay?
Yes. Sure, lovely to talk to you again. And yes, it is a very long time. And yes, everybody in the embassy has come through this so far. You know, we've changed our ways of working and we're taking a lot of precautions. But, you know, I'm very proud that the team have managed to continue to deliver services to Irish people here in Spain, despite working from home half the time at least.
Right.
And dealing with very severe lockdowns here at different times.
And were ye involved in things like getting people back home to Ireland who wanted to go in the early stages?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, have themselves pluckily found their ways home. It's been extremely difficult. I mean, you know, Jared, I saw the central statistic figures, something like 60 to 70,000 arrivals came back to Ireland during the month of March from Spain,
yeah,
from Spain alone. So, you know, those people reorganized their flights and got themselves home. We were dealing a lot with the cohort who either weren't fortunate enough to get their flight sorted or had planned to come back a bit later and then were caught out by the flight being grounded. So we kept in touch with quite a few people across the Canary Islands, Alicante, Malaga. You know, some of them found ways to travel home via Madrid, via Barcelona, but some, understandably, particularly those with underlying health issues, were concerned about any form of transit and either preferred to hold out or felt they had no option but to hold out for the direct flights resuming in June. So
right,
it was a very difficult time for those people, and we tried to help in the ways they could and providing options, information on options, or in some instances helping people sort out their prescriptions, or wow. helping some people indeed who needed other kinds of assistance, for example, hospital assistance or okay. others. So it was a whole range. And very conscious of all of those Irish people across Spain who live here, and some of them who work in the tourist sector and the hospitality sector were very obviously badly hit and suddenly found themselves in very, very vulnerable situation. And that was extremely difficult. We tried to advise quite a few people on contacts with their local town hall in terms right. of their entitlements. But of course, that was also very difficult. So it was, I would say, the team worked very hard. You know, we were conscious that there was oftentimes that there was, you know, not a lot of options facing the Irish people concerned. So it was a very difficult time, particularly for the people in caught out in difficult circumstances.
I know that there are a number of Irish agencies and there'd be Irish businesses that would be closely connected with the embassy or to the embassy. They all managed to, I suppose, shift how they work, and they managed to get on okay, I hope.
We had, as you'd know, Ger, and your listeners would know, the COVID wave hit Spain earlier than Ireland.
Yes.
And it hit much more severely. So we all went from kind of working in our office to working from home from one day to the next. And the agencies with the presence here in Madrid that cover also Portugal, that's both BIA, Enterprise Ireland and Tourism Ireland, they immediately moved to working remotely and to shifting how they worked. What I would say is, you know, areas like Enterprise Ireland that represents companies involved in, say, services, I'm talking their IT packages, yeah. for example, or pharmaceutical, medical technology type things, their companies have been holding their own. They haven't been able to do people-to-people contact work, but in terms of support for their clients, those companies have been, you know, working away. In fact, some of them are particularly relevant at the moment. I would say Bordia, certainly. Bordia, the quality Irish product that comes to Spain. Spain is typically our second biggest market for Irish seafood. It's also a market for Irish beef. A lot of that product, high quality product, goes to the restaurant sector, the okay. hotels, and obviously that was hit very badly. And then tourism, yes, I mean, of course, tourism was hit. They remained very active on all their social media platforms, and they're working hard already on planning for next year. But obviously the number of tourists was down.
All right. As we are only a couple of days, a few days away from 2021, I don't suppose you'll be sorry to see the back of 2020. Are you in a position to plan for anything? Does the introduction of the vaccines make a difference to maybe how you might do business, or, you know, what way are you thinking about the new year?
Yeah, well, we're in our business planning process at the moment. I think many of us feel that whatever we think in terms of for the first half of next year, that we have to be agile, that, you know, we need to be able to respond to things. So, like, for example, we're looking at and talking to the Spanish Association of Irish Studies, who you've talked to before, Ger, on
yes.
your show, about maybe could we do something with them on a digital space around Loyola Vida, Bridget's Day. On St. Patrick's Day, you know, anything that would involve sending out invitations that you might have to pull back, we're really kind of pausing again, wondering maybe generally across the world, maybe there'll be some corporate, maybe some platforms that can be developed,
right.
you know, like we've seen now over Christmas with the Other Voices and the various concerts that are happening online. I think the name of the game is resilience, agility. We're not sure, we don't feel able to plan in-person events for the early part of next year. But we will certainly be, you know, exploring what we can do virtually. And,
yeah.
and yes, the vaccine, I think to all of us, we hope that it will mean that we are heading towards a difficult period ahead where we have to continue to be extremely careful. That's very clear to all of us in Spain here at the moment and in Ireland, that anxiety around the balance between people being able to celebrate Christmas but doing it in a way that doesn't lead to another spike early in the new year. But we are hoping that, you know, that there's some prospect of a return to. But I think we'll always now have learned ways of doing things differently. I imagine, you know, there'll always be an increased element now of flexibility in how we work and the offer that we can make to people. And that, I think, will shape how we work in the future.
Great. All righty. I'm not going to delay you. I know you're busy, but is there something that you would like to say in terms of the new year, a little wish or something?
Well,
or
a little wish. Well, Guillaume, Ashley and Free Washington of the League. I'm sure we're all hoping and confident that 2021 will be a year of a return to a new normal. And in the meantime, let's all fun flan, let's all stay safe. And we're recording this, I know, a few days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So without confusing everyone, I can't finish the call to you, Ger, without wishing you a happy Christmas and yours. Let's keep in touch in the new year. I look forward to that.
Brilliant. And I was just about to say to you, as per usual, if there is anything that we can do by way of promotion for anything that you're doing, please do get in touch.
Yes.
And just to remind you that as of the 6th of January, the programme is moving to Wednesday from 6 to 7, not Monday. So if you've got something happening on a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, let me know in advance and we'll be able to do a little bit of rock and roll with it.
Great. All right. Rock and roll sounds good, Ger.
And I would hope that there will be one big party when this is all over and it's safe for everybody to congregate again. I'd say it'll be a massive party.
How we look forward to that.
Ambassador Sheila Maguire, thank you very much for taking my call and wish you and yours a happy Christmas and indeed a wonderful 2021 as well.
Thank you, Ger.
I said I'd never let love go. If I found it again, I want you to know I'm still astounded. You even found it with me. When we're apart, promise me you'll
great song. It's some new music as well from the Zemians. Now, it's spelled D-Z-E-M-I-A-N-S. And a fella called Fionn Gardner did the singing there as well. A great song called Till the End. Now, we normally start the programme with our famous Irish birthdays, but I thought it would be important and only fitting and right to present the ambassador to you firstly. So, will we do the birthdays now? I think we should. And we're going to do them up to and including the 5th of January, seeing as we're back on the 6th. All right, so today being Monday the 28th, it's great to have the old Christmas done and dusted, really, isn't it? Yeah. One birthday for you today, Frank Kelly. And if you were listening over the Christmas period, you would have heard Frank Kelly's Christmas Countdown. He's Father Jack, as you know. He was also a great screenwriter as well as an actor. He was born in Dublin on this day back in 1938. Tomorrow is Tuesday, it's the 29th of December, and Joseph Maher, actor, was born in Westport in County Mayo in 1933. Wednesday, the 30th, a lady called Camille O'Sullivan. She was an actor, painter, musician, and architect, and she was born in 1974. Gary O'Donovan, a great rower from Skibbereen in County Cork, born in 1992. Dave Fanning, broadcaster, journalist and film critic, born in Dublin in 1955. And Neil Cusick, great Irish athlete, born in Limerick in 1951. Thursday is the final day of the year, 31st of December. Bob Shaw, the author, was born in Northern Ireland in 1931. A man called Martin Manser, he was a politician, he was a historian and advisor, still very much alive, I'm glad to say, born in 1946 and one of the people that was hugely involved in putting together the Good Friday Agreement, a man that has done quite a lot for the country. June Levine, journalist, novelist and feminist, born in 1931, and Rita Keane, singer, musician, and she's also the aunt of Dolores and Sean Keane, born in Galway in 1922. Finally, we go to the new year. Oh, great. 2020 is gone. The 1st of January is Friday. Mick Flavin, the singer, born in Ballinamook in 1955. Donna O'Malley, wonderful politician and government minister, born in Limerick in 1921, did quite a lot when he was in power. A lot of good, that is. Jonas Armstrong, the actor, born in Dublin in 1981. And a girl by the name, or a lady by the name of Catherine O'Leary. She was an Irish immigrant living in the United States, born in Ireland, as I said, and it is alleged that an accident involving her cow started the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it? Anyway, that we mark her birthday on the 1st of January. John O'Donoghue, writer and philosopher based in the Burren in County Clare, unfortunately no longer with us, but so many people take such great solace from his writings and his musings. And he was born in 1956. John Moore, the film director, producer and screenwriter, was born in Dundalk in 1970 on the 1st of January. Saturday is the 2nd, Avril Deverill. She was the first Irish woman to be called to the bar in 1893. Sunday is the 3rd of January, and Maureen Potter, wonderful entertainer, unfortunately no longer with us. She was born in Dublin on that day in 1925. Derek O'Connor, the actor, was born in Dublin in 1941, and Ken Bruin, the writer, born in Galway in 1951. To Monday we go, Jim Norton, another character from Father Ted. Do you remember Bishop Brennan? Yep, well, that's Jim Norton. He was born in Dublin on the 4th of January in 1938. Eva Philbin, she was the first woman president of the Institute of Chemistry in Ireland. She was born in Ballina, County Mayo, in 1914. And Niamh McCarthy, Paralympic discus thrower, was born in Cork on that day in 1994. And finally, we go to Tuesday, the 5th of January, Louis Stewart, jazz guitarist, born in Waterford in 1944. And Rachel Hardiman, international cricketer, was born in Dublin on that day in 1961. Famous Irish birthdays. Not a lot of musical birthdays in there. But this man, Mick Flavin, celebrating his birthday next Friday, the 1st of January. Happy birthday in advance.
So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. He was a man and a friend always. He stuck by me in the hard old days. He never cared if I had no dough. We rambled around in the rain and snow. So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. And here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your chance to stray. We thought we'd try and work one day. The boss said he had room for one. Said my old pal, we'd rather
night in a jungle camp. The weather it was cold and damp. He got the chills and he got them bad. I lost the only pal I had. So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. And here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. May all your rambling bring you joy.
That's Mick Flavin and a song called My Ramblin' Boy. That's it for this part of the programme. Take a break. Come back to me in just a moment, please. Who do I have for you? Oh, yes, we've got Patricia.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Did you have a drop of brandy on your plum pudding by any chance over the Christmas? Did you know? Okay. Was it Hennessy's by any chance? Maybe it was. Patricia has a great story about that very same thing.
Well, hello, Ger. I'm going to tell you a story about something I know that will be of comfort to you in these cold, wet days in Ireland, because it's about brandy. You know, when people think of Hennessy's brandy or Hennessy's cognac, they immediately think of France. But the name Hennessy is not French. It's Irish. The founder of Hennessy's brandy was Richard Hennessy, who was born in 1724 in Ballymacmoy House, in a pretty little village called Killavullen in County Cork. Now, the present population is around 200, and like all good Irish villages, it has a few pubs where you can be sure there is pride of place for Hennessy's cognac. Now, many Irishmen left Ireland after the Jacobite Wars and went to serve in continental European armies. And in 1743, Richard Hennessy left Ireland and went to France, where he joined the Clare Regiment in the French army of King Louis XV as an officer. Well, Ger, being a Clare man yourself, I'm sure you're wondering why the regiment was called the Clare Regiment. It had originally been called the O'Brien Regiment after its founder, Daniel O'Brien. But when he became Viscount Clare, it became known as the Clare Regiment. Well, Hennessy was one of the many Irish who took part in the Battle of Fontenoy in 1745. And although the French were victorious and there were many casualties, especially among the Irish brigade, Richard Hennessy was among those who were injured. After leaving the army, he went to live in the Cognac region of France. And it was there, on the banks of the Charente River, that he began distilling wine to produce brandy. The result was the famous Hennessy Cognac. When his son, James, was old enough, he joined his father and expanded the business, branching out further afield into deals with traders in London and New York. Thus began the worldwide famous Hennessy brandy that we know today. The Hennessy family never forgot their origins and maintained strong links with Ireland. In fact, in 2015, two eighth-generation descendants of Richard Hennessy, Morris and Frederick Hennessy, decided to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the founding of the Hennessy Company by flying out 55 wine producers and distillers from the Cognac region in France to Richard's old home in Ballymacmoy in Killavullen, North Cork. Now, this is an indication of how much the company Hennessy values all their workers and appreciates how each plays an important role in the chain of production, from the farmer to the finished product. Frederick and Morris Hennessy are proud of their Irish heritage and have always maintained Ballymacmoy House. The villagers in Killavullen are proud of their links to Hennessy, and indeed, many of them have also been to Cognac in France. Morris says that when the parish go on pilgrimages to Lourdes, a visit to the Hennessy estate is always on the cards. And to keep their spirits up, I'm sure that they take the opportunity to sample some of that famous brandy. Frederick Hennessy has restored Ballymacmoy House to its former glory and is so taken with his life there that he has decided to make it his home. Morris travels the world promoting Hennessy Cognac, but is always touched by the warm welcome he comes back to when he returns to the house of his ancestors. The brothers grew up in France, but they had visited Ballymacmoy often for holidays when they were boys. They remember their parents telling them that if they did well in their studies, they would take them to Cork in Ireland to see Ballymacmoy House. Well, that was the first time they came, and they were captivated by Ballymacmoy House and Killavullen. And so years later, Frederick chose to return to the house of his ancestors. He renovated it and decided to live there. Hennessy Cognac is a global brand which is made on the banks of the Charente in France. But they never forget that it was Richard Hennessy from Ballymacmoy in Killavullen who founded it. Today, 60 million bottles of Hennessy's cognac are sold in 120 countries. I'm sure that young man who left Ballymacmoy House in 1724 could never have imagined how the brand name of Hennessy would be recognised the world over and how its connection with Ireland would remain strong.
The day you walked into the bookstore, waving across the aisle, truth is I was glad to see you, though I couldn't smile. I thought about the last time we spoke, what you said had hurt. Oh, and now you show up talking nicely in the place that I work. And I know it's been a month or two, but surely you remember. Oh, why did you pick now to show up last day of December? I know this is a darker time, but yes, I like to talk. Maybe you should stay. Talking nice.
That's a nice number, isn't it? It's called The Place That I Work. It comes from Saint Sister and Lisa Hennigan in there, giving them an old dig out on that one. Nice it is too. I'm going to remind you of next Wednesday. The 6th of January is the first Wednesday edition of Live on Era. Okay, just a quick reminder that from next week, no Live on Era on Monday. It goes to Wednesday the 6th. You'll join me, please. I hope you certainly will. All right, the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1963. If you were listening over the Christmas, I spoke to Tommy Drennan on Christmas Day and we talked about a couple of things, but mainly the number one song, O Holy Night, and the fabulous version that it was. And we mentioned in that conversation a good friend called Brendan Boyer. Brendan unfortunately passed away this year, but he was at number one in Ireland in 1963 on this very day with this song.
No more do I see the starlight caress your hair. No more feel the tender kisses we used to share. No more do I feel the touch of your hand on mine. No more see the love light making your dark eyes shine.
From the late Brendan Boyer. It was number one in Ireland on this day back in 1963. And next week on the programme, next Wednesday, that is, well, Wednesday week, the 6th of January, we will have another former number one. Join me for that, please, if you can. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Come back to me just after that, and I'm going to introduce you to a man who is English, but kind of feels really at home with the Irish people and Ireland and all of that kind of thing. Nice to hear. We'll meet him just after this.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Now, some weeks ago, I received an email from a listener. I always tell you, if you'd like to email Ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio, I'd be delighted to hear from you. And this started off by saying that the person who wrote it was living in Spain, listens to the programme regularly, in fact, TRE regularly, and continues by saying, I don't know if you would like to make a future feature of this, but it might be interesting. I was born on the East End of London in 1958, a real melting pot at the time, and I am, to all intents and purposes, English. So, let that be the end of that. Right, or so you would think. But I know that I have Irish blood running through my veins, and the pull is so strong, and it's so difficult to ignore. I have never felt more at home as I have when being surrounded by Irish people in an Irish environment, strangely enough being totally accepted on all occasions. I wondered if it may be worth you throwing this idea out to see if other people can relate and feel the same, akin through DNA as it were. My pull towards Ireland and the Irish folk scene seems to be getting stronger also as I progress in years. I wonder if there are any others that have this experience. Do you? Well, I thought to myself, no point in I throwing the idea out. Why don't I just talk to the man himself? So let's talk to the author of that email. That's Tony Dean. Tony, it's good to talk to you. And thanks very much for putting your thoughts on an email to me and indeed for listening to the programme. Firstly, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm in good form now, which is always the way I am when I'm behind the microphone, I'm glad to say. Tony, this thing about being Irish, I suppose, is like going to the doctor and saying, Doctor, I'm feeling a bit Irish. When did it all start? And how did it start?
I was born in the East End of London, 1958, a bit of a melting pot. I wasn't actually a very well child. I was actually baptised and given the last rites. I was born a blue baby. That's okay. What they were called back then. Prognosis wasn't very good, but I sort of shocked everybody and pulled through. That was nice, wasn't it?
The fighting Irish spirit is in you already.
So off I went to a Roman Catholic school.
Right.
And made lots of Irish friends, and I started going around to visit their families,
right,
who were wonderful, wonderful people. I mean, it's just like fairy tale stuff to me. It was my childhood.
But
I'd come round and knock for my mates in the end, and they wouldn't even be in, but their parents would always invite me in, and then we'd start chatting, and they'd tell me about the leprechauns and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and all that sort of thing, and the Blarney.
And you believed
Blarney
it all?
Stone, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And do you know what? What really came across to me was they did as well. It was like a real firm belief, you know, and it was so lovely. And I'd go around there on a Sunday morning, the Sunday lunch would be cooking. Well, in those days, I mean, if you were going to eat about 1 or 2 o'clock, you'd get the cabbage on about 9 or 10 o'clock.
That's right, you would. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all that was going on. Oh, you mean that? We'd have Val Doonigan on the radiogram as what you had in those days. And then they start getting all their... all these old records on 78s. I remember one that they used to play me, and it was a band playing in a bar. It was a jig.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you hear a fight breaking out. And you hear the tables and chairs are going, and oh, Seamus O'Shaughnessy's, I've wiped the face off yours now, and the band are hotting up.
You're only joking. No, that doesn't really happen. You know that doesn't happen.
The jig's going on and on.
In one of the emails that you sent me, you mentioned that you went out with an Irish girl for some time. She was from Banagher in County Offaly. And you were brought to the lovely County Offaly to meet her family. But you were a bit apprehensive. You were a bit apprehensive about that. Why was that?
Yeah, just a little bit, because she told me the connection, obviously, with her great auntie, I think it was, Kitty Keane. And I mean, I've always been one of these people that think of other people first before me. And I just thought, well, you know, okay, lovely, lovely.
Right.
And I went over there, yeah, and it was really the most wonderfully warm welcome.
Yeah.
She's dead now, bless her soul. But, uh-huh. I mean, even after she passed, they've asked me to come out there again and visit them again on under my own steam, which I think is really a lovely thing.
Now, I know that both your grandfathers were Irish. As you said, you grew up with a lot of Irish people around you. But for some strange reason, you seem to think that the Irish people wouldn't welcome you, wouldn't extend the hand of friendship when you went to County Offaly to meet your girlfriend's family. Where did you get that notion?
Oh, do you know, I think it's just... Sure. Where do we get a lot of these notions from?
Yeah.
The media, don't we? It's what we're spoon-fed through the television and all the rest of it. I think that's where a lot of it comes from, yeah. Unfortunately, it still does today.
Right. Well, it does, but like, there's always been great cooperation between Ireland and Britain because, you know, we remember the times when times weren't good in Ireland, and our young people and some of our older people even went off to England or to Scotland or to Northern Ireland or to Wales to earn a living. And when they made that living, they were sending money back home to us here in Ireland. So England and Britain has been very good to us. I know that we've had the whole 800-year struggle thing, that all that. But the man and the woman on the ground have always got on well on both from both islands, haven't they?
Absolutely, and that was the world that I grew up in, Joe. It really was. On the other side of the coin, you know, to me, I've known people, friends, whatever, who have been full-blown Irish, actually born there, and don't really relate at all.
Really?
It's just too busy sort of doing other things and living their life and never ever give it a thought. Mm. And I can't understand that either. It's really strange. But the feeling that I have, I don't know if I mentioned this, is that there's been quite a bit going on about this documentary that's been done lately, hasn't there, with Shane McGowan?
Yes, of course. And that has kind of tripped a little wire for you, has it?
Yes, because I thought, well, I know somebody else like that. That's me. Mm. So I started getting a few of my thoughts together and a few of the thoughts I've had over the years. And we all have ups and downs in our lives and everything like that. And during the sort of bad times, the grey times, the not too wonderful times, this kind of belief, this feeling that I have, I can only put it down as that. That's what I want to try and see if other people are feeling the same thing. See if we can go anywhere with that, because that's what's got me through. A lot of it is what's got me through.
Good. And I've heard a lot of people from, it could be from Britain or it could be from America or Canada or Australia, who kind of said the same thing. They felt a pull towards Ireland. Did it ever cross your mind that you might go and live in Ireland for a time?
Yes, I want to. It's my ultimate plan.
Okay.
And if I bring
an umbrella.
If I ever manage to sell up here in Spain, that really would be my dream, my end goal.
Great, okay. Well. All right. And when did you come to Ireland first? When was your first visit to Ireland?
I was about 7 years old. Yeah. I was hanging out with a family, and they came from Cork.
Right, okay.
I remember it was a big adventure because I packed my bags and we went on the ferry, and it was lovely.
Brilliant. Dave Hodgson here on TRE. Dave has family from Cork as well that he's trying to research at the moment. So Cork seems to be the place.
Yeah. Well, it's where the Blarney Stone is, isn't it? Just outside of there.
What about music and the Irish music scene? Have you got a particular favourite genre or a particular favourite artist or group or whatever?
Yeah, well, obviously, I grew up with Jerry Rafferty and Gallagher and Lyle and all the people like that. But what really hit whatever's going on in my soul was the first time I heard Moya Brennan's voice doing the thing from Harry's Game from Planet. Yeah, the first time.
Really?
It would be really interesting to see if that touched other people, anything like it touches me, because it still does now. It just makes me want to cry.
Well, I'll give it a spin for you, but not to make you cry, but just to play it for you, seeing as that's one of your favourites. What about this whole Brexit story, and a lot of people from Britain are researching their relations? Have you looked into that? Are you thinking about that and becoming maybe somebody that would hold an Irish passport?
Sometime in the future, it's nice to at least to have options,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. All right, Tony. Well, look, we're putting it out there. If there's anybody that feels the same as yourself, a big draw towards Ireland, even though you're not born and bred in the country, but you do have the relations. And if anybody would like to have a chat with it about it or something, we're more than happy to listen. How's that?
It would be lovely to see if anybody else just has that same feeling, that same draw.
Okay. Tony, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much. It's been an honour.
And let's take a listen to that lovely classic track from Clonard, the theme to Harry's Game. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Clonard and the theme from Harry's Game. And that was for Tony. And Tony, thanks very much. And sure, look, if there's anybody feels the same way as Tony does about Ireland and the Irish, get in touch. You can email me anytime you like, ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. Now, when I was doing the birthdays a little earlier on, I did say to you that there were very few musical ones normally, or sometimes you could have 5 or 6 or 7, and you're not going to be able to play that number in an hour, that number of people, music-wise. But today, there were slim pickings, but I did mention Rita Keane. Now, Rita was born in 1922 on the 31st of December. And I don't have a recording by Rita, unfortunately. She was a singer and musician. But she's also the aunt of Dolores and Sean Kane, that are well known and well established. And both of them have phenomenal voices. And I found a track the other day and I thought to myself, I must play this. So this is the ideal opportunity, a track from Sean Kane. Take a listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it.
We are the Irish fishermen who work along the beach through the storms of winter gales, trying to make a living pulling codfish from the seas and hunting for the big black whale. We work out on the Grand Banks in the sun and wind and rain, 2,000 miles from our own land, fill the holes with saltfish before heading back again from the shores of Newfoundland. The 9 long months away from home, no man on board to build. It's a loneliness to have to stand. So we gathered up our families and we're going to settle here on the shore of Newfoundland. We brought along our stories, and we brought along our songs. The warmest in the winter's cold, but we won't forget our history, boys. Not forget where we came from. Through all the trials, the time will bring through all the years that we go on. Our foreign guns have brought us troubled country to despair and rule it with an iron hand. We seek out some safe harbour and forget about our cares on the shores of Newfoundland. Codfish and the woods are full of deer. There's a peace that's hard to understand. We take our chance on not being caught to make a home right here on the shore of Newfoundland. And we brought along our stories, and we brought along our songs to warm us in the winter cold. Won't forget our history, boys. Not forget where we came from. To all the trials that time will bring, through all the years that we've owned. For we are the Irish fishermen, the work of company, and it's here we will make our stand. We're going to make a living pulling codfish from the sea, on the shore of Newfoundland.
A beautiful song, isn't it? And beautifully sung on the shores of Newfoundland. That comes from Sean Kane. Right, that's it. Done and dusted, not just for the year, but with the Mondays as well. Because as you know, I've mentioned it many times now in the last hour, that from next Wednesday week, the 6th of January, that is when you will hear Live on Era every Wednesday from 6 to 7, no more on a Monday. And as always, if you'd like to get in touch with me, ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio is the email to use at any time at all. I want to say a very happy new year to everybody. Can I say especially to the people that look after me when I'm looking after the programme, the likes, for instance, of Jose Antonio Sierra, who is our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, Patricia Trainer, a regular contributor, as is George Lee and Ben Sweeney. Happy 2021 to all of you, and look forward to working with you and having your contributions throughout the year on Live on Air. Can I say a special thank you as well to some people that I work very closely with here when I'm not in Spain, when I'm in Ireland. I work very closely with Daisy and Mari, and they're working on the production side, as is Rob. And I want to say a very big thank you for the efforts and the things that you have to do for me on the programme on a regular basis. So thanks very much, and Happy New Year to you and your families. Listen, I look forward to being with you on Wednesdays, the 6th of January. Until then, from me, Ger Sweeney, a big thank you for listening, and a very Happy New Year again, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.